Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole. Guess what? Will T and Ray Jeezy are in the building, but we're going to make it do what it do, man. I got a boatload of great guests today, so I'm going to make it rock. And pretty much most of this show, I know everybody peeped, for a while has been listening to the new Nas and doing breaks. We're going to be listening to the new Nas. We're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate. We're going to do what it do. All right. Again, also, the urban sports scene is part of Ampire Media. That's Ampire Media. And you can catch it at AmpireMedia.com. Ampire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the urban sports scene. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Ampire shows as well as other great content. Also, this is a mouthful. I know I'm doing a lot right now. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Usually, Ray reads that part off, and, well, he's not here, so I have to read all of it off. And Will T is not here, so he would usually say, let's get into our tradition. The pregame, here's what we have on tap. We'll recap the Washington football team's preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals and their final preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens. Host of the Breakdown podcast, Dujane Bland, will join the show. He's going to be new to the show, so make sure y'all welcome him on properly at 8:30 as part of our DMV PG Baller series. We will have former NBA forward and 2001 All-Met baller out of Eleanor Roosevelt High School. You know, that's my high school. Eddie Bastin on the show at 9 o'clock. Host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, will be on to talk about the newly released NBA schedule. Finally, we'll talk about WBA welterweight champ, Your Dennis Ugas retaining his belt by defeating Manny Pacquiao by unanimous decision. Boxing expert Johnny Signorella will be on the show to discuss that as well. That hurt me that Pac-Man lost. You know, y'all know Pac-Man's my dude. Anyway, right now, I have host of the Sports Journeys Breakdown podcast, Dujane Bland, on the show. What's up, Dujane, and welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Man, what's going on, brother? Glad to be here with you on the show, man.
Man, I'm glad to have you on, man. You know, I've said it. I mean, I know we talked prior about getting you on earlier, so I'm glad we finally could make this happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so before we get into, talking about the Washington football team, can you tell our listeners about your podcast?
Well, break down with myself, and as you guys call her, Mrs. Park. we call her the boss. We call her the boss over there. We talk everything Washington football team, mm-hmm. Washington Wizards, Mystics. We talk a little New Orleans Saints, and just roughly big topics. Some things that mm-hmm. may be grinding our gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. Things like the NFL, COVID. Rules changes and things like that. Mm-hmm. We try to hit on those things, give our thoughts and opinions and on those things. And, just like to have a good time, man. And she really makes the show better. So, you know, I'm just along for the ride. But it's a pleasure having her with me as I started the second leg of the journey with the breakdown. So
awesome.
It's been fun, man.
Awesome. Awesome. And Dujane, I do love that you give her a hard time, you know, cause you being a Lakers fan. Cause I listened to the last show. And I like how, you know, you pretty much told her, like, you know, but when Melo came and all, you know, and Russ, how, you know, she had to feel it. She had to feel it that day.
Absolutely. You had to. I mean, you know, in my best Magic Johnson voice, you know what I'm saying? It's Lakers, baby. It's Lakers all day, baby.
Gotta be like Showtime. You know it, man. But let's talk about the Washington football team. Last Friday, the Washington football team defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 17-13 in the preseason game. What were your thoughts with their performance?
You know, I thought the offense was a little off.
Uh-huh.
You know, Fitzmagic didn't have the magic going on. He missed a couple things. Uh-huh. Didn't look as sharp as the week before.
Yeah.
Also, as we talked about, I think it's not all on the quarterback. I think some of that is, you know, obviously, you know, they don't want to show everything, but it's just funny to me how we're seeing the same things over and over again, and we can deny it. Fans can deny it. Oh, it's just preseason.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? One time is a coincidence. Two times, it might be a habit. And three times, you know, it's one of these things that it's one of these things where it's a everyday occurrence.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen this over time that this team has had issues with inside. Once they get in that red zone, they can't seem to punch it in. Now, is this the offense? Can't have guys like Alex Smith, you know, who are known for doing halfway, you know, good job as far as making sure he's finding his guys, and it be the quarterback's problem.
Yeah.
Starting to think it's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Defensively, them jokers are balling, and quite frankly, I'm like, look, who your Jets guys? I mean, you know, let's not peek out in preseason now. Come on now, let's go on and reel that back in and save that for week one, and let's kick off the season with a bang and carry it through. But they look like they're in midseason form, and that's fun to watch, and that's going to be their catalyst as they start, you know, weeks 1 through 4 in that first quarter of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you though. It gets to a point where, and I know it's preseason. That's going to be the talk around town. Like, oh, you know, it's preseason, so you can't expect so much out of the offense. So you're going to go back and say, well, we can't like blame Scott Turner, but it goes back to a pattern though, right? So, you know, Fitzpatrick in game one, or even a little bit of game two, like in the offense, they would move the ball the length of the field, but they just couldn't close it out to score a touchdown. And that's the thing that we saw last season with Alex Smith, and we saw in the preseason. And, any, you know, just as fans, and speaking of fans, you just want to see something different within the offense. And from what we saw in the first two games, you know, we were impressed by Fitz, like you said, with his rhythm. In the first game, and in the second game, he was off. He wasn't as good as he was in the first game, but they did move the ball, to the red zone, and again couldn't finish the drive. And that's the thing that you kind of want to see change. You want to see, if anything, finish the drive. We're not even asking him to look the cleanest in the world, but just finish drives.
Absolutely.
You know,
it has to happen. I just can no longer ignore it in the preseason anymore. We've chalked it up to not counting, but it's funny how these things continue to like seep right into the regular season, and we're watching the same stuff. Yeah. There ain't no more vanilla now. And I'm sorry. We can sit up here and maybe give Scott Turner a little bit of a break in the preseason, but I'm telling you, he got 2 weeks with me. And likely, if I see the same thing in week one, I don't want to hear any excuses, but it could be kind of looked at as their fourth preseason game, possibly, but they need to be prepared, obviously. But I'll give them a break in week one. But week two, if we still seeing the same stuff, it's time to start talking about the offensive coordinator and his abilities to get this offense moving, especially scoring points, because if they're not scoring points, you're really doing the defense a major disservice.
I agree.
Because you can tell that they're going to be getting the ball for the offense on a quite regular occurrence, especially if guys on the opposing team are making mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we kind of, you know, a lot of people, again, when I'm on social media, folks are like, you're too hard on Scott Turner, this, that, and the other. And I guess my question to people when they're judging Scott Turner is like, what's the ceiling? Like, what is the ceiling with Scott Turner? Because I'm a firm believer in when you have a genius play caller, right? you know it off the bat. Like, you know he's that dude. Like, absolutely. You don't even – it's not even like, oh, he's new to the play, to play calling. It's just something about a play caller that they just have it, right? It's not to say they're going to be perfect, but in terms of the creativity, what they can do with less talent, like, it, you just know. For instance, prime example, like Mike Martz. And then we're going back with the Rams and whatnot, right? But Mike Martz, as a play caller, you can darn near put any quarterback back there, and he can make you look like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. And you may not have the skills to be one, but he can make you look at it. Look what he did with Warner, Bulger, and other folks that just kind of that just played the system. So I'm just saying that, like, again, what's the ceiling with Scott Turner? Like, I know everybody gets hyped because he's North Turner's son, but what's the ceiling? Are we calling him an offensive genius, or are we just saying he's capable?
Right.
You know.
I mean, look at Josh McDaniels for an example.
Mm-hmm.
He made guys like Ryan Mallett.
Yes.
He got them paid. Let's put it that way.
That's true.
He got them paid.
Uh-huh.
They went other places and looked like they couldn't even hit the broadside of a barn.
Uh-huh. Very good point.
They couldn't hang, but he made guys look good.
Yes.
And you know, that's the kind of coordinators you need. And when you have guys, I mean, I know people will sit up here and knock it, but all you got to do is go back and look at his last 4 years. I think his highest interception total was like 12 or 13 interceptions.
Yeah.
He's held about a 60-some percent passer rating. And when he was in and when he had the opportunity to play, they balled out and he won a lot of games.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, in most of those cases, he didn't get a chance to finish because there was a younger quarterback behind, you know, him. But, you know, he's going to have those games. But for the most part, like, I just like the fact that the guy doesn't care.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can make plays, but you got to give him an opportunity to make plays. And I feel like, you know, if you want to call it preseason, fine, but you got to make your offense feel good and be able to leave on a positive note.
I agree.
And you punch the ball in and get a score. That it's nothing like getting the ball in the end zone. It gives the offensive line confidence, gives the quarterback confidence, gives your receivers confidence. And they kind of missed the mark last week. I felt like they should have came back out in the second half and played until they scored. And I know that may be crazy to some, but I mean, they didn't do nothing. They didn't do enough.
I agree. I think they should have played. I think they should have played long enough to get some type of get a touchdown for confidence and something positive going into the season, because chances are they probably won't even play the last preseason game. But anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amppire Media. That is amppiremedia.com. Right now, I am chatting with Dujane Bland, host of the Breakdown Podcast. All right, so let's go on a positive tip, man. Who stood out to you, you know, on Friday?
Jared Patterson.
Of course.
Jared Patterson.
Yep.
That guy, I'm telling you right now, you know, Peyton Barber hate life right now. He just lost his job.
Oh, man, yeah.
I'm surprised he ain't on the cut list now.
Yep.
They must be trying to give him another chance. He got one more shot.
Mm.
He got one shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Jared Patterson, there's no way you can leave him off this roster.
Yep.
I think he's in. I think Barber's gone, and you're going to have an excellent backfield. I like the way he runs the ball, and not only he's the guy that on that they had a third and short.
Yeah,
and you know that's Gibson's got to take out. Mm-hmm. You got to get that first down.
Yep,
you
got
to muscle and get that first
down.
I understand
agree.
There wasn't much holes there, but I mean, you see a bunch of backs.
I think it was fourth down too. Dujane, I think that was fourth down, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
So you got guys in this league that run on kill.
Yep.
When it's fourth and inches to get that first down, and I think Patterson's a guy that can do that.
Yep.
Obviously, you want Gibson to get better in that position, but I think he provides them not just a hammer, but he also can do what Gibson does, get out in the open space, be used in those screen deals, those pitch plays. He's very shifty, and I really like that about him. Dyami Brown, bruh.
Oh, my God.
Cam Sims going to be coming off the bench, and quite frankly, you know how You talked about it too. Damn, get on my nerves. You lucky to be on this roster, because if I was the dude that was making the cut, he'd have been cut.
Hey,
being the same thing out of him every year.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm telling you, Dyami Brown boy.
Yeah.
If he can get it together,
yeah,
and couple up with Terry McLaurin, and then you got Curtis Samuel, you got that rotation, and you still got Adam Humphries, who I think is going to be a great slot for them.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. A great target, especially they have that chemistry, him and Fitz. Good Lord, man. I really like Dyami Brown. His ability, you see how he went up and caught that ball?
Yeah, man.
He went up and attacked that football.
He's skilled,
and
man.
That's what Washington needs, especially in the red zone. You know, I know the fade was a joke back in the day under said coach that I will leave nameless.
Nameless, like Candyman, right? You got to be making treat him like Candyman. Don't say his name five times.
Exactly. Don't say his name at all. I will leave him nameless, but, you know, we could actually do that now.
Yeah.
With a guy like Dyami Brown, and then if you see AGG gets his legs underneath of him and starts to be more consistent, man, you've got a lot of ballers at the wide receiver position that could be a problem for opposing teams' defenses. So I'm really excited about that and what they did. And obviously you like seeing Logan Thomas really becoming a nice target. He kind of reminds you of what we all wanted. Why does his name escape me?
Oh.
Concussion.
Oh, Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed, yes. We all wanted him to be. I think he has that ability to be that guy that can, you know, really be a mismatch problem, but be a sure-handed guy that you can rely upon. He's starting to become a favorite target of Fitz as well. So, I'm really interested to see. I'm glad I'm not the guy that has to make the cuts, but those are the guys that impress me out there. Against the Bengals,
man, I agree with everybody you stated. You know, we were talking on the clubhouse during the game with I won't give all props with Candy from Seawall Sports, Karita, your co-host, my man Darrell from the Legacy Sports Network, all cool folks, and yourself, obviously, all cool folks. And we were talking about like you met Patterson. We were talking about Dyami. We were talking about AGG. Like, you know, I mentioned when I was talking about AGG, I felt like a proud father once he was making plays, man. I was like, oh, that's my boy. Oh my God, that's my boy. Because he was making me so proud. Got the 2-point conversion, manned up, like he mossed it. I was like, okay, we mossing folks now. Okay, somebody got their swag back. But speaking of, you know, Jared Patterson, I'm with you, man. I just feel like not just Peyton Barber has to be worried, and I mean Peyton Barber has to worry about a spot, right? But I think folks got to be worried about playing time, their touches, because homie coming, and you mentioned like. Yeah, he got toughness. What I like about him is that it's no knock, and people like it's no knock on Gibson. It's no knock on anybody else, but it's just a fact. You see it, like you mentioned, he can see the hole. He got wiggle. He's got some toughness. He got everything you want in the back. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a natural runner. Like when you look at him, he's a natural. It's instinctive, right? He knows how to make a play. He knows how to make the cut. He sees the hole. There's just so much he does right. You know what I mean? Like okay, physically. Like Gibson is bigger, he's taller, right? So that, I mean, when you look at him, you're like, okay, Gibson's like, he looks the part, right? But when you look at play, oh, Jared Patterson looks the part. Like he looks the part of like a dude that is a serious problem. You know what I mean? So, you know, if I'm Gibson and others, like, don't get hurt. Like, I'm gonna be real. Like, don't get hurt.
Right.
Like real talk, do not get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because if you get hurt, your spot will not be the same. Because homie is ready.
Yeah.
Like, he is ready to do real damage. So, I'm like, yo, be careful. Because, like, you may think your spot is sweet. And you may think it's good. But that dude is coming. And you mentioned Cam's.
J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, all of them. J.D. McKissick.
He better be catching balls and not making no mistakes.
Yeah, be like
we know.
Yeah,
he's been looking good though. But
yeah,
you know he can have some slip ups.
Where, yeah,
you know, make some bonehead. Forgot how to catch.
Yeah,
you know, be in the right spot where it needs to be. You make some mistakes, man.
He taking
young
it.
Young man is coming for your spot.
He taking your spot. Don't be like Steven Smith Sims Jr. last year. Who, you know, the year before that, he was good.
Yeah.
Then last year, he started it's dropping everything. Don't be that dude. Like, don't be that one. And speaking of Steven Sims Jr., were you surprised that homie was released?
No. You got too much talent.
Yeah, I mean, I know, right?
You know, and again, and I went, this is what I said it yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
If you can't, we can't, you cannot be trusted on special teams.
Uh-huh.
So you automatically, you're not tall enough or good enough to just be playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
You got to be good on special teams to at least contribute there. And you got Isaiah Wright. Mm-hmm. Got Isaiah Wright, and then I believe I forget who the guy I'm
from BYU. The kid from BYU. Keep forgetting his name too.
He's returning.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I believe his last name is it Carter, DeAndre Carter.
Oh, you talking about DeAndre Carter? Yeah. He got that return job. That's him. He good.
So what is Steven Sims Jr. doing?
I know, man.
Other than looking good in preseason like he always does, and then comes Mr. Crisco hands. I done get my hands in Crisco and movie popcorn butter, and I can't catch, mm-hmm. can't hold on to the ball.
I know,
man. And when you got other guys that are outperforming you consistently, if you can't contribute on special teams, guess what? I guess you don't have a spot. So I'm not surprised that he was released. I hope that he, you know, finds a landing spot. He has talent.
He does.
But when it comes down to what Washington is trying to do here, you know, this ain't the previous coach that I will leave nameless here. There's no favoritism and no likes.
Facts.
You know, this ain't a Troy Apke type deal where I like you, I'm gonna keep you around because I like you. Nah, you're not producing, and you can't help us on special teams. So we don't have a spot for you.
Straight facts.
We got all this talent that is.
Straight facts, man. Straight facts. I believe I'm with you. Like, I wasn't surprised. I'm like, just like you said, you got bodies out here, guys who are hungry, and you weren't drafted by this regime, and you weren't picked up by this regime. So this is Ron. Ron already has his guys. Other than like Scary Terry, who's like, you know, he's that dude. And Cam Sims Jr., who I think is like kind of Trey Water. But other than those two, like, yeah, they don't owe you anything because you're not their guys. You know what I'm saying? So you have to build, trust so you can be their guy, but they're not a guy off the bat that they were already saying, you know what? I like this dude off the bat. Nah, it's more of you have to earn it. Cam Sims, whoever, you know, last season, because of some big plays, he earned that trust with this regime. So that's kind of helped him out a little bit. But if you look at, you know, what's going on with Steven Sims Jr., they only see a dude that wasn't consistent. That's all they know of. So, but again, he's I know I said this a lot during the clubhouse stuff, but, you know, he's a real nice guy. And I do think, like you said, he does have potential. I think he has potential, and I do wish him the best. And I think he's humble. He is humble, not think. He's humble, and he's a guy who wants to work hard. So hopefully he finds a landing spot, and I and if he does, I hope he takes advantage of it. Because most importantly, again, like, I do think he does have, to me, he does have ability, to your point. He has a lot of ability. All right, so let's get to this Saturday, in the final preseason game, the Washington takes on the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they up the street. They up, or is it down? Whatever. Anyway, usually in the final preseason game, the starters don't start, right? They don't even play. Sorry, the starters don't even play. Do you think the first team, like, I know you mentioned it about last game, that you wanted that the first team to play longer until they scored a touchdown. Do you think they should play in the last preseason game?
Man, you know, you don't want to end up with these things like you had with Travis Etienne. But I feel like they at least need to go out there and play a couple series. At least a series or two.
Okay.
You don't want to go too far because you got guys out there that are trying to make the squad.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be going hard. They're going to be some late hits. They're going to be some big hits.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to be on your starters to take you out and, you know, change your whole entire roster up over some meaningless game. But you would like to see them come out and perform, be sharp, et cetera. So I'm kind of on the fence on that.
Yeah.
I'd say two series and let them ride.
Gotcha.
And you hope that in those two series that you get it done. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see any starters. And the reason why is I thought that it would have been the dress rehearsal game would have been this game.
Yeah.
And they seem to have had their dress rehearsal game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
So I will see. Defensively, I don't want to see not a Nate starter, period. Please.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
I don't want to see not a one of them.
Nah, nobody. I don't think.
They need to be in dress down for sure.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. I don't think anybody on defense should play. I agree with you. It was like the second game was a dress rehearsal game. I'm just, you know, the offense didn't show but so much. You know, I was wondering if, like, Ron Rivera would give them one drive or one series for the offense. But I'm with you. I mean, I doubt they'll play because it's the last game is always a dress rehearsal game, and these young dudes need to find a way to make this roster. You got players who hungry, who haven't, you know, sensed the spot. So they need this last game to prove to the coaches that they're going to make, that they can make this team and capture a spot. And even, you know, somebody like I mentioned, AGG, I don't think his spot is solid. So he's going to need to play a little bit. He's going to have to play good. He can't have a bad game. And also he has to, you know, to me, I would play Cam Sims, even though I think Cam Sims probably has a spot, but I would, you know, if I'm AGG, I'm hoping Cam Sims plays and he does that Cam Sims type stuff that kind of makes Ron Rivera want to try to move him up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Hey, but mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But Dujanay, thanks for being on the show, man. You know, I appreciate you. Before we let you go, how can folks catch or subscribe to your podcast, and how can they hit you on social media?
Well, The Breakdown, you can find that on all podcasts and platforms, like Apple, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
Just look it up, The Breakdown, and it should pop up. You have to type in my name, and you can find that on my Twitter at NotBland21. I love talking shop with the fans. It's a blast. And also, I'm also on Ghostcast.
Awesome.
Also, a show brought to you by Sports Journey, presented by Ghostcast. It is the Not Bland Show. It is on only Apple. You know, so people who have an iPhone can only get this particular app. But I do a show over there.
Awesome.
That's just me, just laid back, having a good time, talking drag racing. We talk a little football. We talk some hot topics as well. Even talk a little wrestling.
Okay.
WWE, okay. AEW.
I like
well.
That. So, I like that. Okay. I'm going to listen to this.
Sticking back, having a blast.
Okay.
Right? So if you want to hit me up, that's how you can get to me. And as I said, I love talking shop with the fans. And Lay, thank you so much for having me on. And look forward to doing this again all season.
Oh, you will. You will definitely be on, man. Dujanay, thanks for being on. Appreciate you. I'm going to talk to you later. I'm going to talk to you later about some WWE, AEW, because I've been kind of hip to it. So I'm going to hit you up about that later on, okay?
Sounds good.
Man. All right, man. We'll take it easy, man. Stay blessed, man. Appreciate you.
Later.
Later, man. Again, you can find Dujanay on Twitter at NotBland21. Again, that's at NotBland21. Local basketball star Eddie Bastin will join the show after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Save for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
Respectfully. Bucket on low like Eric and Parrish. Closed casket flow, all you niggas get deaded. They don't give you one single rose while you can smell it, so I pick from my own garden. Wanna go out with my garden like Godfather. Grandkids in a rock while I got over the block trauma. So what you saying, nigga, you gots to chill. Thinking you the truth, really you not for real. Back to back with it, the hardest shit of the year.
Remix. EPMD, we back in business.
Ain't nobody fucking with us, come to your senses.
He's the second coming to guard, something to witness.
Piece of shit flying your head like Mike Pence's. We in the trenches.
I'm mad, better yet, I'm on a rampage.
My people can't even get minimum wage.
Fuck a stimulus.
Give me some interest.
Give me a loan.
Give me a home.
Give me that land you owe me so I can roam.
So when you trespass, blah, one in your dome. Best wishes, ghost him like he Tommy.
Ain't worried about nothing, cause his squad behind me.
EPMD, we back in business. I visualize what it is, not what it isn't. We at the mafia table next to the kitchen. Eating Michelin star, counting a million. Done. I let it go for the family meetings at Code at Miami. Them wine bottles on Maggie extra large. Sign up for my masterclass, Escobar. Feet up in Met Stadium at my restaurant.
Tied in from AZ to Davies, you know my thoughts get crazy. My teachers, they couldn't grade me. I know some Haitians in Dade County, got choppers in Haiti. She booked a flight to Columbia, made her body amazing. Just to post it on Tumblr, this that fuck up the summer shit. I don't care what you coming with me and hit boy running shit. Big gold rope chains, but they flooded now. Yeah. Pull up with the ghost like a haunted house. She getting scary blood on my hands like Carrie. Might walk through a cemetery to see where hip hop is buried. I said it was dead, but the fake is death like Machiavelli. You see letters in red splatter, look like sauce and spaghetti.
Yeah, ready?
CPMD, we're back in business. What? Living in cramped conditions, we'll give you ammunition. Stock those shelves, I got those shelves, I got no bell, and I'm not gonna fail. I got no wells like Christmas, you don't wanna make the claws come out. Y'all should call yourself Santa, cause none of y'all are real. Not a single one, like a dollar bill. It's like your bitch in the pellet court, she's on a pill. We got a bond and shield, never bail on me, not even out of jail. EPMD, for me, I got no chill, just a lot of squirrel. Lady, my paper's so crazy, I just tossed a mill out the window with my mobile on the fucking freeway on the way here. Like Rudolph and his homies when they're pulling the sleigh. Yeah, that's a lot of bucks flying when I'm making it rain, dear. Green on me, but no weed, shorty, just these, darling. A pocket full of pills, summer Tylenol threes, probably two or three, Molly. So summer Eve, which reminds me of rap, summery. Mommy, my theme song, me and Pete always used to play that shit on repeat all day, so please call me Big Daddy. Plus I got the cane and lean on me. MCs, I'm eating you, B-I-T-C-H's like tortilla chips. Me, I'm free of debt. Yeah, green is on Chia Pet. This is the effects of my old neighborhood misery index. Poverty, it is peak OCD and PTSD. I guess RIP out to DMX, these are we and Nipsey, XC and Prince Marky DMF. Do my hit 50 via text. Told him that I love him cause I don't even know when I'ma see him next. Tomorrow could be a death. Yeah, and this shit ain't for the faint, cause the brains in the train kill the danger deranged. And I drank all the day, pull a blank on the paper. Then wait till the pace, fill a pace, fill a shame. For the strength of a pain, pill a drink. I just pray for the day when I'm able to say that I'm placed with the greats. And my names with the Canes and the Waynes and the J's and the Dre's and the Ye's and the Drakes and the Jade. Till it's Jade, it's Cool J's and the Roz and Amazing, it's Nas's. And praise to the gods, it is shout to the golden age of hip hop. And the name of the song is
EPMD, we back in business. I visualize what it is, not what it isn't. We at the mafia table next to the kitchen. Eating Michelin star, counting a million. I'm in rare form. Niggas speak down on my name like I wasn't there for them. Talk about back in the days. This isn't back in the days. They want me back in my ways. Should do for the fade. Musically, I'm on Mars.
Yeah, I told you I had to crank that new Nas for y'all, man. Told you it's a solo Urban Sports Scene show. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy are out, part of Ampire Media. Again, that's Ampire Media, and you can catch us on AmpireMedia.com. All right, man. I'm boosted about it. I'm boosted with this, man. I hoop with my guest growing up in Spring Hill Lake, Greenville, Maryland. We call it the lake. He then went to Eleanor Roosevelt High School, where he was All Met in 2000, in 2001. He was also PG County Player of the Year. After Rhodes, he went to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, where in the 2005 season, he was named Conference USA Player of the Year. Also, during that time in Charlotte, he was Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year in 2004 and 2005. Homie was strapping, bruh. My guy would make it to the NBA as an undrafted rookie with the Chicago Bulls in 2005 and would start in several games with the Bulls. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you my dude, Eddie Bastin. What's good, Ed?
What's going on, man? That was a hell of an intro right there, man. I appreciate all the love, man.
Oh, bro, your family. Your fam.
What's going on?
You know, we good, man. We good, Ed. You know, I had to get you on because I wanted, you know, the Kevin Durant basketball documentary, Basketball County and whatnot about PG County. I wanted, you know, they were talking about a lot of folks. But I ain't talk about folks that I really wanted to talk about, you know what I'm saying? And I'm biased, obviously, because you the homie. And So, you know what I'm saying? So it's not speaking about the documentary in the county, but for you growing up in, you know, in the county, who were some of the notable hoopers for you in the area?
Well, you know, man, when I got here, man, I moved here from New York.
Yep.
So, you know, like you said, man, you know, moved to Spring Hill Lake, the lake. And back then, you know what I'm saying? It was the guys around the neighborhood. So, you know, one of my guys, man, was Fatty. Remember Lil
Fatty? Man, Fatty. Folks don't know. Oh, Fatty got game, bro.
Nah, So I really took a liking to his style of play. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to like to watch him. Mm-hmm. You remember Moose?
Yep, Moose. Yep. Moose. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they not going to know who these people are.
Yeah.
But, you know, then as, you know, we got older and I started, you know, stepping outside of the neighborhood, you know, I started getting introduced to, you know, the guys through the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I was going to the Kennel League and going down Berry Farm. So, you know, Lonnie Harrell was, you know, a dude that I admired his game. Greg Jones, you know. Steve Francis, you know, guys that I kind of, you know, had, you know, similar kind of game, you know what I'm saying? So the Moochie Norrises, Kurt Smith, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys that, like, was, you know, right above me and whatnot.
Everybody,
you know, a few years.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. Because everybody talk about Greg. I ain't never seen, I think, was it Greg? You say Greg Jones or Greg Smith? What'd you say?
Nah, Greg Jones.
Greg Jones. I thought you said Greg Jones. See, I had somebody on the show earlier talk about him. I ain't really, and folks, a lot of folks talk about him. He was that nice?
Yeah. He was a hands up.
Okay.
You know, he, any which way, sniper, man.
Yeah.
He could shoot that ball, man. And, you know, he was a big guard. So he, you know, body, whatever. But, you know, we just had game, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just admired the game. I just appreciated it and just wanted to learn as much as possible. So I took a little something from everybody.
Awesome. Dope, bro.
You know, so, you know, coming from New York, I was all about, you know, the ball handling. You know, I was the point guard.
Yes, you were.
And that's something that, you know, a lot of people probably forget or don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, I was a point guard coming through, man.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be able to play all the positions because of my toughness, and, you know, just grit, you know. Like, I just love the game. So whatever, you know, was going to take, you know, I was there for, you know, my team and my guys, whether it was playground stuff or if it was, you know, organized ball. So, you know.
No, man, it's funny because, you know what, I will never forget this. I remember, I was in college, so Al, you know, Al, folks don't know, it's my brother Al. So I was like, because I always paid attention to y'all, you know, anytime anybody in the neighborhood was doing well, I try to pay attention. So I was in college, so I was checking out, like, you, Delonte Holland, because I knew y'all, I mean, we all grew up in the same neighborhood, you, Delonte Holland, and I was like checking out your stats, right? And then Al was like, you know, Ed is strapping. I was like, Ed play defense like that? He said, yo, Ed straps. I was like, offensive Ed? You said, yeah, Ed is strapping like crazy, bro. Like, this man, like, all defense out there in the Conference USA. I was like, what? So you got to check a game out. You know what I'm saying? Because it's hard in Conference USA games back then. So it was like, so when I did catch you, I was like, oh, snap. Like, Ed strapped for real. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember Ed from, you know, playing, you know, like you said, playing in the lake, you know, basically, you know, all handles, like you mentioned. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to yank folks and this, that, and the other. And so defense, not to say you didn't play defense, but defense like that at that level didn't I didn't think about that. I thought about you was just dropping buckets. I ain't think about you, like, strapping.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that the defensive mentality, it goes back to, you know, the grassroots. Like, just, you know, playing around the way, you know, being roughed off by older folks and whatnot.
Yeah, I know.
Man, my whole thing for the defense was, man, the more we stop them, the more possessions, the more points we could score, the more
facts.
You know, fast breaks and dunks we could get, and
facts.
We could just be electrified.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's what it ultimately was. But, you know, in college, you got to get on that court by any means necessary.
Yes, bro. Yes.
They had shooters. They had guys. Now you're playing, you know, a certain style of game depending on your coach. So you got this. You got the point guard that's coming off the traditional pick and roll. You got the shooter in the corner. You got the spaced out, you know, wingman. You know, it just depends on your makeup of your team. So, you know, when I got to Charlotte, well, first, you know, it started at Roosevelt. I always played defense. You know, just like I had a knack for, you know, being around the basketball, you know, hitting them gaps and, you know, just putting the defender in
you know, compromising, you know, situations.
Uh-huh.
And then especially with the health side, you know, like I just was always conscious of it. It was a gift.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that. You know, it's like my thing. And I just knew, like, man, look, all they keep talking about all these different guys. Man, when I see them, man, I'm you know, I'm getting at them.
I love it.
You know, it's a pride thing. You know, it's a pride thing. Like, you keep talking about this kid over here.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't do the names. You might want to say some names, but whoever they call out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I held my own and, you know, I did my thing. So, you know, the defensive thing, man, that just was something where I knew a lot of guys wasn't really focused on, and I knew that could also give me an edge to make it, you know, professionally. So, you know, I just took pride in the game. I wanted to be an all-around player, man, and, you know, I had a good, you know, little time with it, man. Good career. Things went well.
Yeah.
So.
No, you definitely did, bro. It's hard making league, man. It's hard. Like, and you did it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's dope. It's dope to me, man. But I want to talk about something real quick. In terms of like back in the PG County, what for you? What was some of the your favorite place to hoop at growing up?
Well, in the area.
Yeah, in the area.
Well, first and foremost, Spring Hill Lake, right?
Okay, you know it.
You know, I'm gonna be honest, man. I can't really recall. Like, the only places we played against Peppermill,
uh-huh.
Palmer Park, Kitland, and all that. But then, you know, I played, you know, with the DC Jaguars.
Yeah.
And we was playing club number four, different team, the Assaults and all that. So just playing all them guys.
Uh-huh.
I played in Berry Farms, of course, played up the Kenner League, I played in the Pitts League, you know, as I was a little vet.
Uh-huh.
And wherever the bump was at, it was always good.
Yeah.
You know, we got so many players from the area, players that's known, players that's not, you know, known. And then you got guys that's just like, I just play just to play.
Yeah.
And I'm nice. So wherever you go, man, you're going to get pushed. You're going to get, you know, some good competition, man. So it didn't really matter whatever gym we stepped in. You know?
Yeah. I'm glad
I was always ready.
Yeah, you sure were. I'm glad you, in real talk, I'm glad you mentioned Fatty, because Fatty was nice. I just thought about that. I'm glad you mentioned Fatty, man. Guy. I'm glad you mentioned Fatty.
You know, you had Kevin.
Kevin? Bruh. Kevin. Yeah,
with that hell of a left and right. Man.
Yeah.
Like we all, look, all everybody could hoop from around that neighborhood. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They all had what they did best.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to them Sunday night runs with all the old heads.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then you know, you had the Alpha Band girl coming through because his cousins and them lived around there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just lit, man. And, you know, it's just something that we don't really highlight, man. I'm glad that you wanted, you know, me to come on and, you know, just speak about that.
Cause
we had Delonte Holland. You know what I'm saying? He was from around there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just dope, man.
We all have a mutual friend, like even like Lee. Growing up, Lee could hoop, but Lee played football.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Lee is our guy.
Man. Yeah. So, it's crazy, man.
He made it football.
Yep. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We had hoopers, though. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? But speaking of Delonte, it's funny because Delonte and Mike Sweeney, they were on a show a while back, and they talked about, like, the squad you had with you, D, and also Delonte West. Can you tell about that? Can you talk about that Roosevelt squad a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny because, you know, everybody think, like, we made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that team came together like organically.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I coming from, you know, middle school, you know, I had the St. John's and the McNamara's and, you know, Gonzaga's that was, you know, recruiting and whatnot, trying to, you know, get me to come. I was supposed to go to St. John's,
mm-hmm.
but I ended up just, you know, picking Roosevelt. You know, that was the neighborhood school.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, it just, like, played itself out. Like, I didn't go to Roosevelt to play basketball. You know, I didn't even play my freshman year.
because, you know, it was just a new world, new uh-huh. adjustment. And I was in and out of school, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, really it all came together, you know, that sophomore year. After one of my buddies, man, shout out to my man Steve Rapp,
uh-huh.
where he was playing on the JV mob. And they had their summer league. And I happened to, you know, go to all the summer league games with him.
Uh-huh.
I just was chilling. You know, as my man was supporting. And it was a playoff game. So it was the lads are part of the summer. And it's a playoff game. And they ain't have enough players. You know, they used to put on the summer league games like at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
7:30. Uh-huh. So, you know, people be in traffic. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm at the game with them, man. And they only have 4 players.
Uh-huh.
When they couldn't start the game, you know, you got to start the game with 5. You could play with 4. Somebody foul out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, you know, E, man, we need one. So I'm like, man, I ain't got no shoes. I think I had some New Balance back then. I'm just chilling. He's like, look, just play until. He said, man, we just need you to play until one of the other players get there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm laughing in my head the whole time because I'm like, this dude is probably thinking I'm sorry, and I know I'm going to come out here
and cry. You're going to give him the business.
So, look, he begged me. I said, look, you ain't got to do that. Come on, I play. So then the coach gave me the jersey. I get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I got out there, you know, like I said, man, you know, no cocky shit, say this humble, but mm-hmm. I was just nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the coach came to me. He was like, listen. If you get the ball, just wait, get it to the point guard right here, and then just space out and be ready to shoot if you can. I'm laughing. Like,
it's like, if you can.
So, you know, we get out there, boom, it's a game, whatever. We playing up and down.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm getting downs when I get it. I'm pushing it. You know, I might hit the nice little pass here and there. But, you know, I just was playing cool, like solid.
Uh-huh.
And halftime come, I think we was down by like 6. Coach pulled me to the side. He said, look, we got our guys. I don't know. But he said, if you want to play, you can continue to play.
Uh-huh.
But you holding back because you could play, can't you? And I said, I guess I got a little game. He said, man, play your game. Let me see what you got. So, you know, second half, go out there, boom. I really start shooting the ball. You know, I'm getting my steals on the break, whatever. And we end up winning by like 11. And I had 14 points that game. I'm going to always remember that. I had 14 points. And that was kind of like the beginning of
Dang,
me
tough.
Playing with Roosevelt.
Tough.
You know?
Yeah. That's tough, bro. So,
you know, that's where it all started right there. You know, Delonte West, he wasn't on the team yet. Mm-hmm. Delonte Holland, he was playing varsity. So mm-hmm. he was playing over at, you know, Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, once the school year started, that's when Delonte enrolled
mm-hmm.
us. But he was playing JV still.
Yeah.
I'm sophomore playing varsity with Delonte Holland mm-hmm. and them. And then, you know, they moved him up eventually, and then all three of us was together. And we ran the tables, man. We had some good battles, and, you know.
That's dope.
That's how
bro.
It all started, man.
That's dope. Who would you say was your favorite opponent in high school? Like squad that y'all played?
That we played?
Yeah.
Man, I used to, man, honestly, obviously everybody think, you know, the Oscar Hill.
That's
man.
A sweetie said he thought it was y'all, but go ahead, though.
No. I ain't going to say it.
Okay.
You know, he thought, nah, the Roosevelt Oscar Hill was the most lit
yeah, I heard.
Game in the county.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's because we was the number one, number two.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it don't get no better than that. So for the fans, for the people that was coming to watch it, every time we played, it was sold out.
Dang.
Before JV even started.
Tough.
Like, the tickets was gone, everything. Like, when our senior year, they had to move the game from a weekday to a Saturday because it was just too crazy.
Mm.
So that Austin Hill Roosevelt rivalry, man, I don't think that would ever be top.
Mm.
But... the team I like to play, man, I like to play. I love to play against Parkdale.
How come these gonna say that? How come these gonna say Parkdale?
Because they just had some. They just had some goons over there. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know, that, like they had some young that was really boogieing, man. And I just, man, remember My man Swan was over there.
Okay.
Shields was over there.
Mm-hmm.
Chucky Smallwood was over there. Like, and then they had some older guys that was nice, but they just used to bring it. They wasn't no punks.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And they was going, you know, battle to the end. But it was a lot of teams like that. Like, you know, everybody wanted to give us and Oxon Hill their best shot because
mm-hmm.
we were getting all the, you know, publicity and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who we played, everybody was trying to come at us. And, you know, we welcomed their challenge because obviously we had the business and, you know, did what we had to do.
Of course.
But, yeah, man, all that shaped us, man, to, you know, to get where we was going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be where we at today.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So, Ed, we talked about this a little bit, you know what I'm saying, before the show. We were talking about how, you know, everybody was, you know, talking about at that particular point in time before your squad like that, they were talking about, like, you know, private schools like the math and whatnot. But Rose made it dope to me for public schools. Like, could you talk about the talent in public schools back then?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, man, with the situation with me, Delonte Holland linking up. Even before that, mm-hmm. man, you had guys like Alpha Ben Gore,
mm-hmm.
you know, Charles Ford and Sherrod Ford over at Gwynn Park. You had Lampkin down at Largo. You had Mackin over at Parkdale. So these were guys older than us.
Mm-hmm.
So when I used to go to them games, because obviously, you know, I come check out the games, and I used to go to the games. I used to be like, man, this public school thing lit too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's no real big deal. Like, if I go to private school, man, I have to wear a uniform. Hey, man, strict. And and not saying, you know, I wouldn't have been able to adjust, and
yeah.
It would have been fun, because at my age today, I look back and I think, like, damn, if I went to St. John's or the DeMath, it would have been lit. But, you know.
Nah, bro, you made the right decision. Don't do that.
No, absolutely. But, yeah, we had mobs.
Yeah.
You know, across the board, you had Mike Sweeney, Phil Goss.
Yep.
Lamar Butler over there.
Uh-huh.
You had the two twins up at High Point, you know, that was getting busy.
Uh-huh.
You had the Laurel mob, you know, with Ledbetter. And Rashad, like, these guys, they went to University of Maryland. You know, they names wasn't even, you know, being spoke about highly. But these guys, you know, went on big-time schools, too. So, you know, the public school situation at that time, you know, was nice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like our senior year, man, we was doing so much damage that we even had a guy transfer and leave DeMath to come because he wanted to play, you know, with me and Delonte.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy, Mo Carter. Shout out to Mo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, man, he's like, man, look, y'all having fun over here. Y'all
mm-hmm.
having fun over there. But, man, I just want to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably a first, that somebody leaves
DeMath,
private school,
yeah.
Catholic school to go public. You know what I'm saying? They usually get kicked out or
yeah.
You know, grades ain't up to par, but he just left. Like, I want to play with these guys. It was that lit.
That's tough.
And
to leave the Matha,
you know, get to that championship, do that championship run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, I might be leaving some guys out, man. You got some names, man. It's across the board, but you know, the public school from 4A, 3A, and 2A all had, man, some legit official players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just was in 4A, but, you know, I got my guys across the board, man. Chris Howard, the Calvin Cage up at Blade, Friendly, you know. One of my AAU teammates, rest in peace, Cortez Davis, he was up at Friendly. Like, guys was at public schools, man, getting busy. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be honest, every time we played a private school, a Catholic school, man, we won.
I mean, your mob was tough. Your mob was tough, though, bro. Like, real talk,
yeah.
That mob was tough. Like, think about it, man. You have three dudes who play high college basketball, and two of the three went, you know, played in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? One was borderline, was close to making the NBA. So it's mm-hmm. that mob is tough, bro. Like, just keep the buck. Like, you don't get that. In real talk, even private, public, whatever you want to call it, like, you don't get that often, period. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that mob did what it was supposed to do. Let's just keep that a buck. It did what it was supposed to do. It fried. You know what I'm saying? Especially, and then you talking about what you saw at Oxa Hill, too. That mob, too. So, it's just, it's crazy, man. What the talent that was back then, man. It's crazy. I was just thinking about a player that, from around the way, that was nice. He went to Roosevelt. You remember Aaron?
Oh, yeah. Aaron Falk.
Yeah. Harry was nice too, bro. He was nice back.
Whole family, yeah, man. His bro.
Daryl, yes, man. Yes, sir.
It was cold.
Cold, bro. Cold.
And then, you know, rest in peace, Big West.
Yes, Big West.
Was like that too.
Yes, West was like that.
Man, the first 6'11".
What a J.
Oh my God.
What a J, bro.
He was so
smooth.
He was
man.
Smooth, like
West was smooth. They don't even. West was smooth, man. Bro.
My God, so like. I got to see some thorough dudes, man.
Yeah, man, real
you
tough.
Know, growing up, like being around them, like growing up, being like, you know, like I guess they was like who I looked up to, you know, like I said, man, all them guys was nice and they were good people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like they was, you know. They, jerks or nothing, man.
They took you under their wing, man. They take you under their wing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The only thing is, like, when you won the court, you know, old heads always try to rough the court. But still, like, like, but at the end of the day, they took you on the side. They would take you under their wing. They would kind of like, they would give you props when they, you know, if you did something right. You know what I'm saying? Like, they say, oh, you nasty, bro. You know what I'm saying? You had this. It wasn't like they was hating. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, bro. I appreciate the folks, the old heads that when I was younger, they were just, you know, talking, whatever. And also, to your point, what I did like what you mentioned about why you became a good defender is that, for real, like, you just said it. Like, them Sunday night games, that's probably going to make you a good defender. Because them dudes ain't, man, if they play bully ball to the fullest. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's a fact. Yeah.
So you gotta be tough. Yeah. Like, you gotta be tough. If you playing a six or like playing them late night games, you can't be weak. And anybody who listening, I'm not exaggerating. They know what I'm talking about. You can't be weak.
Nah, you gotta bring it.
You know what I'm saying?
Bring it.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Go crazy.
Yeah, don't think you just gonna be nice with the game. Nah, you gotta be physically and mentally tough. Hey, man, look, you know what? I can talk to you forever. I appreciate you for being on. And before I let you go, man, is there anything you'd like to add?
Man, you know, like you said, man, you know, the documentary, man, KD and them put out, man, it highlighted, you know, a lot of good, man, area, man. And, you know, every neighborhood, every basketball fan, every homie, they going to ask about, you know, a certain person and why they leave this and that out, man. But we just got to, man, remember, like, it's a lot of great talent, you know, that's developed in this area, man. Whether it's PG County, Mo County, the DMV, Maryland, Virginia, whatever's close to us, man. You know, we just got, man, give each other, man, our props.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we just got to keep it competitive, too. Keep talking our shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know, you know, I stand on, you know, still with anything and everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I handle my business out here.
Mm-hmm.
And my guys did, too. So, shout out to Eleanor Roosevelt. Shout out to all the people out there listening. Appreciate y'all tapping in. And, you know, just catch me on my social media, man, eddie.b_13 or showtimeeb.13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll talk again, man, for sure.
Oh, you know it, bro. Definitely will, man. This was dope, man. I appreciate you being on. And also, I wanted to say there's another – it's funny. There's another – because, I mean, you know, I coach basketball. I coach Greenville basketball. There's another kid that, similar to you, man, killed the Roosevelt – he was undrafted. He played for New Orleans, and he's killing, bro. Killing. Najee Marshall. Killing.
Oh, yeah.
Najee killing, bro. Najee a beast, bro. He won the championship at Rose. Came out.
Right,
won
right,
the championship
right.
Rose. Same thing. Undrafted. Went to Xavier. undrafted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
then
I heard about him when he was there, bro.
Yeah, nasty, sure. Man. Nasty, but always been a hardworking baller though. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Hopefully, man. Hopefully, I run into him, man. We can catch up, man. Yeah. I don't know if you.
I'ma try. Know what? I don't know. I don't know his folks. I'ma see if I can get y'all linked up. Cause that homie hungry too. He hungry just like you, man. He hungry look. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, just holler at me. Let me know what's up, man. Appreciate you.
I will
get
do.
Get me on the show, man.
You know it, man.
You know. Until next time, it's always showtime.
Oh, my guy. All right, Ed, man. Appreciate you, homie.
All right.
That's my man Eddie Bastard, man. Make sure you check him out, man. It's a cool dude, man. The NBA schedule was released. Host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, will join me to talk about the big games on the schedule after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces.
Country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. Yeah. If Chappelle moved to Ghana to find his peace, then I'm rolling where the service always roaming. I'm packing my bags and going. It's a challenging act. It's a balancing act. Visit beautiful places, it's more out here than the trap. Houses in Long Island, they always found him. House in the South, a nigga barely got out. Sunny LA, remember calls with Dr. Dre. He told me, don't let the palm trees fool you, nigga, be safe. Me and my higher self, we often would speak. Somehow we lost the connection, might meet a Joshua tree. And it's been bothering me. Too many wavy women, gotta log out of IG. Can't be my ADMing, no kidding. It's hard to move like a civilian. I write the truth cause I live it, not like you musical niggas. We did it big and they bigots. They rather shoot than write tickets. What it feel like to go get it? What it feel like to go miss it? In one city, one country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. Some place to be nobody. Dog bought a plane, said let's go to Paris. That's where baguettes are from, French bread that's long and narrow. I like the other definition, rectangular carrots. The concept of this song is rather esoteric. This girl said in Grenada we should go get married. Broke the meaning down of the Virgin Mary. And you got your own place. My favorite part of the night when you text me that you made it home safe. I'm contemplating at the home base how I'm used to breakfast in the ghetto sipping OJ. That's a picture right there, a moment in time. Before anybody wanted a photo of mine. Before the internet energy and social decline destroyed the vibe, fooling us with the headlines. Keeping us blind. Vultures eat you alive. Take heed to the signs. Wishing I find one city, one country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. Some place to be nobody.
You now rocking with the best. Just Blaze. Bower. Bitches.
Y'all know I had to play like the Just Blaze joint, man. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy are out. But, you know, I've been holding it down. I'm kind of proud of myself. You know, I usually don't kind of like toot my own horn or pat myself on the back. But I may do that right now. Anyway, we are part of Ampire Media. Check us out at amppiremedia.com. All right, right now we have, as you can tell by the music, we have host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, on the line. What's good, my man?
My man, Wole, I appreciate the invite, as always, my brother. It's always a pleasure to talk hoops with you, my man. I appreciate you.
You
have
know,
to be on.
Hey, man, the first thing I thought, the new NBA schedule came out, and I was like, you know what? I got to get my man on the show. That was the first thing that came to mind. I had to get the homie on the show. It's like we, and I want to do it, you know what I'm saying? I want to do it. We can just like chop it up, you know what I'm saying? So we can, I don't got to worry about that much time. We can just chop it up and just talk about basketball, you know what I'm saying? So, and without having to be strictly on some Wizards crap, you know what I'm saying? Because I can't, it kills me, even though I'm from the area, to keep talking about the Wizards. It kills me at times. I'm sorry, Wizard fans, you listening. It does kill me. I'm a Laker fan. It kills me. You know what I'm saying? So I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want them
they
to
think.
They
got better, though.
They ain't got low. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Maybe.
Look, man.
Maybe, yeah.
They talked about John Wall going to the, Stephen A. Smith kept talking about John Wall going to the Rose Bar up at, this is, that, and that's in the city. That's in D.C. What you think Kyle Kuzma going to do? What you think Kyle Kuzma going to do?
I think, you know what? I actually have high hopes for Kuzma this season.
Yeah.
I actually think he's going to be playing as a motivated Kuz this season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he actually, I think low-key he has a chip on the shoulder.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of Laker fans actually gave him some blame for his lack of production last year.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because he could have done a little bit better. So.
Yeah.
I do think actually on Washington, I think he will be a little bit revived. Hopefully he could catch back that little, you know, stigma he had, that early little vibe that he had in the first couple of years in LA. So we'll see, man. But I actually think he might be kind of hungry of being DC.
No, I think it's a better opportunity for him than it was in LA. I will say that. I do think in terms of the Wizards, because the Wizards, and I'm not sure you're familiar with what this Wizard fan base has always been complaining about. Like, they would always complain about not having an athletic three, right? Like, they would always complain about it around here. So now, there's no excuse. Kyle Kuzma is an athletic three. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is. So, he's streaky. So, I just want to see how he meshes with Bradley Beal, knowing that this team is built all around Bradley Beal. And that's the thing that Kyle Kuzma... Will he be willing to play? My issue with Kyle Kuzma isn't the talent. It isn't the skill. Cause I do think he has skill. It's more of the basketball IQ. Like, do you know your role within that team? And do you understand situational basketball? That's my thing with Kyle.
I think he will, though. Mm-hmm. I think he sees this as an opportunity to actually do those things that you just listed.
Mm-hmm.
So. I actually think he'll be solid, and I'm curious to see how he fits with Hachimura, because you know they both kind of play a little bit similar.
You know,
Hachi is more in the mid range,
yeah.
But those two, it can go really well if they actually play their roles correctly, because that's it's a solid little young front court with those two.
It definitely is. It has potential. It has talent potential. You know what I'm saying? But it's all about how the coach, you know, Wes Unseld Jr. kind of coaches it up.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it happens. But I wanted to come and talk about the NBA. It's the schedule. The schedule's kind of lit. You know what I mean? It's kind of lit. You know, it was released. I think it was released like, was it last week? The schedule released. Was it released last week or the week before last?
I think it was last week.
Like last week,
like
right?
Flying, yeah. I think it was last week.
Like last week, right? Okay. So, the Western Conference champs, the Phoenix Suns, aren't on opening night, you know what I'm saying? Which I think is kind of, you know, it is what it is. All right, you have the Brooklyn Nets versus the NBA champs Milwaukee Bucks, and then you have the Golden State Warriors against my LA Lakers. But do you feel that the Suns, knowing that they went to the Western Conference Champions, they went to the NBA Finals, you know what I'm saying, had a great opportunity to win the NBA Finals, do you feel like they were a little slighted by not being on opening night?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, bet.
This is a media game through and through. Listen, I know everybody loves Steph Curry. I know the media loves Steph Curry.
Yeah, they do.
But the man didn't even make the playoffs. Give me a break. You cannot have son who didn't even make the playoffs on opening night, though. Like, that's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, they're disrespecting the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a young general in D-Book over there. But, you know, it's all right. You know, it's okay. It's a show and prove. That's how we like it. We like to be the underdog. So.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think it should have been Lakers-Suns.
I kind of think so, too. I agree.
It's been a better matchup.
I think there's so much with it. I know everybody's they gas with Klay coming back. And I think the Warriors are going to be awesome next season, to be honest with you. I'm not saying they won't. But I do think the Suns, they went to the finals. Like, you gotta give them their flowers, right? They went to the finals. They went 6 with the Bucks and had a great opportunity to even win that series. We all, you know, little things happening. I'm not getting into the series, but little things happen within the series, which kind of derailed them from winning the championship. But yeah, you have storylines. You got the banana boat team all in the court on the same court together. Not all, but most of them on the same court together. You got Melo, LeBron, Chris Paul, like all on the court together. Like, and then you just have like, all right, everybody's favorite team in the West in the Lakers with LeBron James, right? Then you have the team that actually did something and eliminated them from the postseason in the Phoenix Suns. I'm with you. I think that's a game that could have easily been an opening night game. Easily. You know what I'm saying? But the Suns, I will give, you know, we kind of have to give the NBA some credits. The Suns are getting like 34 national televised games next season, which is dope. You know what I'm saying? That didn't happen in such a long time for the Phoenix Suns. I want to say that hasn't happened since maybe like Steve Nash or maybe Charles Barkley or something was on the team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, so what are your thoughts about that? Them getting that many televised games, national televised games?
I think it was well deserved. Okay. I think it was well deserved. I mean, the team, not only Chris Paul, but the young core itself, they proved themselves in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's well deserved for them to get that many national TV games, and I think it's going to serve them well, because if you look at the young core, the Phoenix Suns, those are some hungry young dudes.
Man, they're hungry.
They are. Those are not your typical average 24-year-olds, 25-year-olds over there. Those guys are ready to win, mm-hmm. and they just got a taste of winning. So I only think they're going to be better next year. So I think putting them on national TV is going to be great, because there's going to be a lot of great matchups in the West. Mm-hmm. As we know, the West is deep. Well, both conferences are deep.
Oh, my God, they are. They are.
Every night it's like a marquee matchup night. So I'm proud of them getting out of those national TV
spots. Me too.
It was big. That was big for them.
I'm happy for Devin Booker. Everybody knows I'm a big Devin Booker guy. I'm just happy that he's getting this exposure. I mean, we all know how great Chris Paul is, but I'm glad this kid's getting this exposure. And I'm actually happy, you know, that folks are going to see. And, you know, I've been high on DeAndre Ayton. And I'm just glad that, you know, folks are going to see him. But do you think that DeAndre Ayton is going to take his game to the next level going into next season?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think actually playing against your Lakers is actually what gave him confidence.
Yes,
I think he was semi-confident going into the playoffs, but how he matched up with AD.
Uh-huh.
And actually prevailed in that series, and AD went out, and he was still in and played well. Mm-hmm. I think that actually propelled him, and that series right there is just going to take him forward into next season. I think he got a little bit nervous, or maybe a little bit shook in the finals against Giannis. I think he was a little bit overwhelmed. It could have been, but that's okay, because no one expected him to get that far anyway and playing that well. So I do think he'll definitely take a leap forward, and he actually needs to take a leap forward in order for the Suns to take that next step as well.
Yeah.
He needs to get you 15-12 next year.
Yeah, and I think he can do that. Y'all know I love Monty. I think Monty for Ayton, he shouldn't have Ayton on Giannis. That just didn't work. That's what kind of messed him up. But
I hated that game, man.
Yeah, and everyone knows, like, we've had Monty Williams on the show. I love Monty. Like, I think he's awesome. But yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. You know what I'm saying? Just wasn't.
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, I think we can all say that. I think we all saw that too.
I mean, it's easy to say it now because we lost, but even during the finals, I was like, man, you gotta take Ayton off.
You gotta take him off, bro.
Help defend him. Leave Crowder on.
Yeah. My thing is that I get why you tried it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he just isn't capable of executing that plan. He just wasn't. And you saw it early. Yeah, there you go. And you saw it early. You saw it. So it was like you said, like putting Crowder on him would have been a little bit better. But again, I'm not gonna go ham on Monty. Monty's just a classy dude.
No, I love Monty.
He's such a classy dude, man. I know, man. Such a classy dude, man. Just I love everything about what he represents as a coach, to be honest with you. All right, so you know, the Brooklyn Nets, like, they got everybody back. You know what I'm saying? Like last year, the Bucks got past them because certain people went down. Let's just keep it a buck. All right? You know what I'm saying? It's the people went down, and that's why they kind of got past Brooklyn. So in your opinion, in the East, are the Brooklyn Nets the favorites, or is it still the Milwaukee Bucks because they're defending champions?
Me personally, I think the Nets are the favorite, but I also think the Nets can be beat in a series. I mean, it would take some help, maybe an injury here or there, or maybe lack of execution from them. But I do think, as far as favorites go, the Nets to me are, to me, the undisputed best team in the East. Even though the Bucks did beat them in the series, I'm not trying to disrespect the Bucks here.
Keep it a buck.
I just personally think the Nets are a better team than the Bucks. And also, going into next season, I feel like the Bucks got slightly worse. Because I do think T.J. Tucker was huge for them in this playoff.
Easily.
I don't think they would have beaten the Suns without T.J. Tucker, and I definitely don't think they would have beaten the Nets without T.J. Tucker. So, I think losing him is that grit that they needed and that extra playoff intensity that you need in those very important games. It gives them an extra little swag, which I feel like they're gonna lose a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you never know. They might have a championship hangover. You never know.
I'll disrespect the Bucks. I'll do it. I'm fine with it. I think the Bucks would have lost to Milwaukee. I didn't think Brooklyn was going to go to the championship. I thought Brooklyn was probably going to lose to Philly, but Philly got beat by Atlanta anyway. But from what I saw, I mean, at first I was telling folks like, I told folks I thought Milwaukee would match up decent against Brooklyn. I said that initially. And then when I saw the first couple games, when you just saw Kevin Durant, and then you had a hobble, and they were doing it with Pat with dudes that were hurt, I was like, all right. Then when you lost, I think didn't Harden go down first, or did Kyrie go down? What was the order of people getting hurt? Was it Kyrie first? Or
Harden went down first.
Did
Harden
all right? So all right. So yeah, when
and then Kyrie.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. When Kyrie got hurt.
No. I think it was actually maybe it was Kyrie. Now I'm forgetting now.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Like one of them dude. Like when it was when we were just two of the three and the two were just rocking. I was like, all right, yeah, they have no. I think it was Harden first, then Kyrie. Now I think about it. So when Kyrie and KD were going, they had no answer. They were just rocking them. They were killing them. It wasn't even funny. Like it was killing them. And then when Kyrie went down, then Kevin Durant had to be special, right? And then Harden wasn't even 110%. Harden wasn't even close to being 100%. Harden probably wasn't even 60%, to be honest with you. But he was just playing basketball.
Yep.
And they still competed, you know what I'm saying, with you. With Kevin, and we talked about it on Twitter. Like, all Kevin Durant had to do was be special for whatever, a couple games. And the dude he was special. He was special. He was special. It just he had to do a lot of work. He did. I had to do a lot of work. So it's to me, it was like, all right, if you get that team that two of the three beats you pretty easy, I could say that. I feel confident in saying that two of the three beats you pretty easy. All three. I don't think you got a chance. Like, I don't think you got a chance. Just saying. I mean, they're champions. And that's what happens sometimes in championship runs. But I'm just saying, like, if they healthy, I can't put you over. I can't put you over Brooklyn.
Yeah, and honestly, I was never that high on the Bucks throughout the season last year. Regardless.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very happy for them that they had that run.
Yeah.
But honestly, if I'm being true to myself and being honest, I was wrong about this, but. I even picked the Heat to beat them in the first round.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was actually impressed with them that they actually got actually really stomped on the Heat in the first round. But the Heat were kind of hobbled in that series too, and they were never right the entire season.
They weren't right that year. They just they lost their whole identity for real. They like their whole the thing that got them to the finals the year before. Like Tyler Hero wasn't the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson was like about the same, and Jimmy Butler was kind of like in and out due to injury. But them dudes weren't. They just weren't the same squad. Like, I agree, they weren't the same squad. They're gonna be the same squad this year though, because everybody like they got the same dudes now.
I like them this year.
Yeah, they tough. I ain't gonna lie. I like when a team knows their identity and gets players to fit their identity. That's what I like about what they did. You know what I'm saying?
So and a great coach.
And I gotta give credit where credit's due. Like when he first, I think I said this to you before, but when he first got to Miami, even with LeBron, and even a little bit after LeBron, before LeBron, I just wasn't a big fan, you know. But you know, I feel like he's a dude that just got awesome. Like, he got better. Like, you can see it too. Like, you experience is everything. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
He's just like he's definitely a top five coach to me. Like, cause you can give him little and he can win with it. To be honest with you, you just got to play his style. He remind me of to me, he's like a young Pat Riley. I can see it just he, cause his players play with such toughness. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they all know their roles too. They know, but there's no ego. You know, your star doesn't have an ego. You know what I'm saying? So everybody plays a role. Like, he'll let your star player is cool with letting Bam Adebayo eat, or cool with Tyler Hero, you know, being a leading scorer, or, you know, Duncan Robinson getting buckets. You know what I'm saying? And that to me, that sets the tone. And everybody wants to play with you when you're like that. You know what I'm saying? So I just think they got a solid mob. They annoy the hell out of me, but they got a solid squad though. Real solid squad.
I like them though. They're scrappy.
They are. They tough. They remind me. They kind of, again, when I mean Miami Heat, they remind me of the old school Miami Heat with Zoe and Tim Hardaway, because they play with attitude. Oh, they
love that team.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a Georgetown dude, so I'm always gonna rock with Zoe.
PJ Brown on
PJ Brown, you already know. You already know. Look at you. You already know. Hey, so
yeah, brother.
You know what I'm saying? So you got Klay coming back, return game against the Lakers. How do you expect Klay to look coming back to the league?
I think a lot of people are overrating Klay. I'm not gonna lie. Some of these people are really getting a little out of control. Like, the man's been out of basketball for 2 years. These people are putting Golden State as like the number 2 seed, 3 seed, and I'm like, hold on, did y'all forget they didn't even make the playoffs last year? In a career year for Steph? And it's not like Steph was playing mediocre last year. That was a career.
That was a good year, though.
Last year.
Yeah, that was a good year, though. Hey,
it was a phenomenal year.
That
and
was.
They couldn't even make it.
But they are deeper now, bruh. Like, real talk. Like, he got they them are. Young boys they got. Steve Kerr, if he just coach it right, they can. And I don't even want to say, but they could be real, dog. Like, they could really be real.
They can.
I'm with you, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. What, Justin? Go ahead.
Oh, I do like the pickup of Iguodala as well.
Me too.
Back to them, because not only because of the significance of him, only because that they can go back to playing that 2015 style him and Draymond. So that actually, with the addition of Klay, will be really good. But Klay is not expected to be back, I think, until Christmas anyway. So,
okay.
I think he still has to have some time to get his footing together, to get his game speed in, to get his reps in. So I still am not saying they're not going to make the playoffs, because they are. They better make the playoffs.
They better.
But 2 seed, they got to hold off on that. I think they'll be like maybe 4-5 seed, 4-5-6, something like that.
I'm going to keep this a buck, which they should have made the playoffs last year, and they should have been better than they were last year.
They should have.
And they should have been better than they were last year. And the reason why I say that, this is why I tell folks that Steve Kerr is like, if it ain't perfect, if the situation isn't perfect, he ain't the greatest coach. Because to be real with you, like, you got like young boy from my guy, what's his name? The big
Wiseman?
Huh?
Wiseman?
Wiseman's a beast. And you were messing with that kid. Like, he was messing with that kid. Like, the people he had starting over him at times, like, that's insulting. Like, it was insulting. It really was. It was insulting. Like,
Looney
at games, you were like, come on, don't do that. Like, that's Looney is trash. Like, I don't like calling NBA players trash, but all right, let me take back. Every NBA player is talented. He would bust my ass. I'm going to keep that a buck. He would bust my ass. But, like, in the scheme of the NBA, like, bruh, like, nah, you not even close to that kid. That kid scratches his fingernails and is already better than you. That's how good that kid is compared to you. And, like, that was insulting. Like, there's even Draymond Green messing with that. Draymond, again, that kid is way more talented than you, Draymond. You can talk a good game, but I have a lot. Like, Steve Kerr, coach, bro. Like, coach. That's all I'm asking. No, just coach.
He gets a lot of credit.
A lot of credit, man. He gets too much credit. Like, to your point, Steph had a career year. We've seen teams with less win games. John Morant has what on his squad? Like, John Morant has what on his squad, bruh? And he's winning games being Ja. Like, and not to say, I'm just saying that at turn. And so I'm just giving credit to the Memphis Grizzlies coach. Look at what you had Wiggins. I mean, I know people, they ill on Wiggins, but that's still like a good defensive player. That's probably 17, 18 points from a good defensive player. You got Steph. You got enough. The way Steph was scoring, you have enough. Like, just to get to the postseason, you got enough. So I don't want to, like, I'm with you, like, to a certain extent. Like, yeah, well, let's just see what Steve Kerr does with Clay comes back. That's how I want to. That's what I want to see, because it may just be a comfort thing. He just may need Clay. He just may need two of the best shooters in the world on one team. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's how he can coach. You know what I'm saying? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. Right now, I'm rapping with host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze. All right, there are five Christmas games on the docket. You have the Hawks versus the Knicks, Celtics versus the Bucks, Warriors versus the Suns, Nets versus the Lakers, Mavs versus the Jazz. Which is your favorite game on Christmas Day?
Well, I have to go maybe a two-way tie.
All right.
Because I do want to see that Nets and Lakers.
Everybody does. Don't play yourself. Don't play yourself. We know you want to see Warriors and Suns, but don't come on, man. It is what it is.
Definitely want to see that match. See, but I need the intensity to be there in that game.
Yeah.
That's what I really need. That
I feel you.
Lakers, because I'm praying the intensity, but you know the thing about the game, there isn't enough animosity.
Yeah,
to me. And
that's
I
true.
Like games where there's animosity, rivalry games. Like, low-key, the Hawks.
Bro, that's what I was going to tell you. Bro, that was it for me. I ain't going to lie to you. That's the game.
Low-key. And it's in Madison.
And I know that's why it's going to be like that.
Like, people are sleeping on that game. Because, low-key, that might have the most intensity out of all of the Christmas Day games. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like those three the most.
Yeah.
The Suns game, the Hawks and Knicks, and the Nets and Lakers. But I just need all of them to have a little bit of tension, and hopefully that people are healthy by then.
Yeah,
we'll see. That everyone's healthy at that time, because I know Russ is going to bring it, but I'm a little worried about everybody else having that playoff feel so early in the season.
I think that, you know, I mean, LeBron typically has like some type of – I think LeBron and Kevin Durant are going to bring some type of intense – and Kyrie too, because of the LeBron aspect, right? Because, you know – Kevin Durant, LeBron, it's always like that little thing, like who's better or whatever. And Kyrie, LeBron,
it's
just...
It's like that for us, but sometimes they don't feel that
they
way.
Sometimes, I know, that's facts. That's facts. I do. I believe that. I do agree with you. I do think to your... I wish, you know what? I kind of wish the Hawks-Knicks game was like at prime time. Cause I just feel like that game would be it. Like, it would be it. Because there's so much shade. So much pettiness and shade. You know what I'm saying? Like, Clay, I mean, because you got Trey doing a little iceberg. It's so much, man. It is so much. Oh, it would be in the Garden. It would give me the Reggie Miller versus the Knicks vibe. It would be a great. That would be a great Christmas game. I mean, a primetime Christmas game, for real. Like, for real.
Yeah.
It would.
I'm not going to lie. Trey Young really silenced that NSG crowd.
He did, man. He did. And he did it with the swag to make it, like you said, to have that heat. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did it with that type of swag. Now, I'm with you, bro. You kind of put me over the top. Which player are you surprised didn't get the Christmas Day game?
I'm actually not surprised about anybody who didn't get the Christmas game. I know some people were talking about that the Joker should have gotten a playoff game because because it was MVP, I don't really care about that. I don't really care about that because he got swept.
He got swept.
Man's got swept. So, he had no business in the second round.
Yeah.
To me, the Blazers choked that series. They should have won, in my opinion. But I don't really care that he didn't get that Christmas game because he got swept. He got swept up out of here by the Streets MVP.
Yeah.
CP. So, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm good with the Christmas Day game. I would like to see Ja, but
I always want to see Ja, man. But
he
I know
he always has great games, but
always
he needs
Ja.
Another marquee teammate, I guess, with him.
He does, man. You know, Ja's one of my favorite point guards, dude. It's just I would love to see Ja in a big game. People surprised Zion isn't in there. I mean, Zion's like Mutsy TV, but I mean, you do got to win to a certain extent. Yeah, I'm with you with Ja. I'm surprised Dame wasn't in it. I mean, we getting all this Dame love.
Oh, yes.
Dame, I'm surprised Dame ain't in it, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We talk about Dame probably being arguably a top three player for real. I mean, just that he in Portland. People could say he won, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like we get
John
to that point.
Signorella.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like that at the particular point in time, we have to kind of look at that situation. I think my other guest is here, but we're going to have to go to – we're about to end the second round anyway. But I just feel like Dame is that dude. You know what I'm saying? So it is with hey homie, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, man, let our listeners know when the next podcast, the next pod episode is going down and how they can catch you on social media.
Yes, sir, my brother. Well, first and foremost, appreciate you for the invite as always. It's always a pleasure to talk roots with you, my brother.
You know it.
Next episode will be out tomorrow. I just recorded one last night with my boy Big Dave.
Love it.
we're doing a whole off-season recap for the Chicago Bulls, giving us our opinions on the grades on their off-season and how the new additions of DeRozan and Lonzo fit. So look out for that episode. Follow me on Twitter at justblaze_513, JUSBLAZE_513. IG is the same. Appreciate you again, my brother. Thanks a lot for the invite.
You know, hey, man, shoot me when you drop it so I can share it and listen to it myself. Because, you know, I want to hear about Lonzo. You know I like Lonzo. Lonzo, my gosh. So you don't want to hear about Lonzo.
I know. When I do my Lakers off-season recap, I want you on.
Oh, I'm on there. You know it. I'm on there already. You ain't got to say nothing but a word to me,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take it easy, man. Appreciate you as always. You know it.
Take it easy.
All right.
You too, brother. All right. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you. All right, make sure you follow Just Blaze on Twitter. That's at JustBlaze_513. All right, you guys shocked the world and defeated my dude Manny Pacquiao. Boxing expert Johnny Signorella will join the show to talk about the aftermath of this upset after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wale, Will T, and Ray are out. You hear me playing LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out. And it was like Pacquiao didn't get knocked out, but it seemed like he could have got knocked out. But anyway, the Urban Sports Scene is part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. All right, so I mentioned it before in the break, but right now we have boxing expert Johnny Signorella on the line. Johnny, what's up, my man?
How's it going? Thank you for having me on, bro.
You know, everything's going good. You know, I was talking to you before, you know, during the break, and, you know, I'm good, but I'm a little sad that Manny lost and lost the way he did. But let me get, last Saturday, Yordinis Ugas defeated my man Pacquiao to retain his WBA welterweight championship belt. What were your thoughts on the fight? I want to just put that out there first. What were your thoughts on the fight?
First of all, I just got to start with this. I had to eat a lot of crow because I was overly confident. Even on my own podcast, I was talking to a Fox News broadcaster, and he's like, you know, does Ugas have a chance? And I said, well, you know, there's a word in Italian called Ugas, which means nothing. He ain't got nothing. But it turns out he landed 59% of his punches on Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, God.
When did you ever see Manny Pacquiao get hit so much?
Oh, my God.
And I tell you what, Ugas came in. He brought the good.
Mm-hmm.
He fought from a proper distance. You could tell that Manny had a hard time from the distance.
Yes.
And when have you ever seen Manny Pacquiao miss so many punches?
He missed so many punches.
So many. I had it 8 rounds to 4. I could see it going 9 rounds to 3 or 10 to 2. I mean, Ugas just totally blew him out. You got to understand, the Vegas sports book had this fight at a negative 400 for Pacquiao. He was that much of a favorite. Eighth division champion, you know, started his career at 100 pounds, under 100 pounds, and, you know, has over 70 fights, 42 years old. But it's like he tried. He tried his butt off. But I tell you what, like, Ugas came in with the game plan.
Yeah.
Pacquiao could not make the adjustments.
Yeah, man, it just, what did they say, Father Time is undefeated. 10, I had it 10-2, and I'm deemed a Pacquiao homer. It was crazy, man. It was just like the jab. He couldn't get past his jab. It's just, he just couldn't make, he could get close, like you said. He couldn't get close. And then when he did get close, he would have a little rally, but he would have, like, he would miss about four of the punches and hit one. It wasn't like he was hitting like multiple punches. He would miss a bunch of them and just hit him once and hit him once. And, you know, it's not like he's older. It's not like he has the same amount of power he had, you know, like 6 years ago or something, or even longer than that. So it's crazy. He had a great game plan. Ugas had a great game plan. And, you know, it hurts my soul to see Manny Pacquiao lose, because, again, like you, I was uber confident. I didn't think he was gonna lose no Ugas. We did a preview of the fight prior, and it was like, we know everybody dismissed it on the show. Will, Ray, we all dismissed it. Like, all right, man, this is nothing. Like, this is gonna be bad for like we were all depressed that Earl Spence couldn't fight. You know what I'm saying? That's all we kept talking about. Like, Earl has a fight, and this is just a throwaway. No, who's Ugas? That's what everybody kept saying. Who's Ugas? Like, who's worried about Ugas? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a guy that, you know, he was robbed when he fought Sean Porter. Should have had a W when he fought Sean Porter. So, I mean, he's a talented boxer. He's skilled. Everyone knows that. But, you know, folks weren't looking at him to beat Manny.
Well, I mean, because you look at the record, if you handicap it, I mean, Ugas is 22-4. You know, I think it was 21-4.
Yeah.
12 KOs going into the fight. So he doesn't seem like a big puncher, but he certainly looked like a big puncher
that night.
Manny Pacquiao has an experience of over 70 fights.
Yeah.
I mean, beat Hatton, Cotto, Marquez, Barrera, Morales, eight division champion, has never been done. So you figure, like, it's a wrap. It doesn't matter. He could be 137 years old.
Yeah.
Like they talk about when coming to America. Joe Louis, 137.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's what's up. It's Manny Pacquiao, but I never seen him get hit so hard.
Me either.
And beaten up so bad. Like, the thing is, like, people will say, well, the Marquez knockout was bad in the fourth fight. But that's like that was one punch, though.
Yeah, that's different. That was
one punch.
He looked good in that fight. He just got hit with one. Like, that in that fight, Pacquiao actually looked good. He just got hit with that one, right? Like, in that Marquez fight, he looked good. He just got hit with the one. This fight, to your point, he was getting hit so often, and he wasn't even moving. He wasn't moving well. And I'd say, I don't think he was hurt. He just wasn't moving. No head movement. He didn't even look spry. Like, he didn't look like Manny, to be honest with you. And I'm not chalking that up to injury or nothing. I'm chalking that up to age. It is what it is. Like, I'm going to say it again. Father Time is undefeated. Like, this is the first time that I actually watched Manny Pacquiao, and it was like, oh, you look old. Like, this is the first time.
He got hit a lot.
A lot.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah,
was telling people that hadn't seen it. I was like, he got hit so many times.
Yes.
Like, Ugas, though, credit to him, that game plan
was great. No, it was a great game plan,
man.
Yeah, it was a great game plan. He came in that fight ready. If he wasn't ready, then yeah, we could. I feel like even a Pacquiao, that type of Pacquiao, would still be able to beat Ugas. But he definitely had the game plan. So, what do you think? I just want to ask this question: how mad do you think Earl Spence is right now? Like, he could have had this Pacquiao. I'm serious. Like, he even messed up the churches. His eye has messed up the church's money. Like, real talk.
No doubt. there is no doubt in my mind. Earl Spence is sitting there. I'm like, man, you know, because I think that, you know, what's next for Ugas is, like, we talked about Porter, maybe a rematch with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Crawford, Spence, like, those are the top players at the weight category.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing is for Spence, if he's going to face, you know, Ugas, the problem there is he's not going to make Manny Pacquiao money that he would have made.
Exactly.
So that's That's the bummer.
It is. I'm serious. That's what I'm saying. It's not even it's not even about who's the better fighter at this point in time in their career. It's about, like, if you would be, if he had beat Pacquiao, it didn't even matter. But it wouldn't even matter if Pacquiao looked bad against Errol Spence, right? It wouldn't even matter. It would be like, it would be already over because the gate would have been amazing, right? Like, the pay-per-view buys have been insane.
Oh,
and he would have got that many eyes looking at him. He would have had the Pacquiao fan base eyes looking at him. And if he had did that with how big of a star he is, I mean, well, he's becoming, because he's to me, he's teetering like superstar boxer, right? You beat a Manny Pacquiao, that you're on a whole different level. Now you're on that, I call it a different tax bracket when you beat Manny Pacquiao. When you're actually a star, you're like, you're in a different tax bracket. So now, like, he missed out on that. No one, I mean, Ugas beat Manny Pacquiao, and now the whole thing is that Manny look old. Manny should retire. But it's not like, oh, we're going to uplift Ugas because he beat Manny Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? If Errol Spence beats Manny Pacquiao, it's a different story. You know, the narrative is different. So, and then for him, like, all that talk about Bud, man, like, I don't need you. Well, bro, I don't even know what you need now because you're not getting that Pacquiao money.
You're not getting the Pacquiao money. You know, and the thing is, what's crazy is the judges actually got it right.
They did. They did.
I was like waiting there. I'm like, please get it right.
Yeah.
Ugas definitely deserves to win this thing, you know. And I know it's going to take money out of a lot of people's pockets out here in Vegas, or promoters in general. But I'm like, you know, and I like that Manny accepted it and understood it. And he knew. You could tell.
He knew.
Like, did you see him breathing in between rounds?
Yeah, like, he's
really
heavy. He's breathing heavy.
That was a huge observation that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time I really saw the father time really catch up, because there was other times where during the fight he showed a lot of energy.
He did, yeah.
And
there was
I think he tried to explode too early, and Ugas just knew how to fight him.
Yeah.
After the first round, the adjustment was in that second round. That was the game changer, in my opinion.
Mm.
And Ugas has started that distance and that range. And if you notice, like, things, like, not to slight Paul Abdul here, but, you know, you take one step forward, take two steps back. What he would do is Ugas would shoot a jab.
Yeah.
And then he would take two steps back.
Yeah.
And then people were like, yeah, man, people were like, you know, Ugas moved around too much. I'm like, what fight were you watching? He stood there the whole time.
He moved. He stood there the whole time. He didn't move at all. He didn't move.
And he hit.
He hit. He did his job, and he hit it with hooks.
He didn't get hit.
He didn't get hit. I don't think. No, I thought Ugas was. He was in the pit. He was in danger. Like, he was there.
Yeah.
He was there. He was in the pit. I mean, he gave Pacquiao opportunity to hit him, but he used his jab pretty well. And to your point, like, he countered well, and also he hit that hook, you know, kept landing. There was so much that he did in that fight that look, you, when you look at it, like, he brought the fight. Now, he did his job. Like, he did what he was supposed to do. Like, he did what he went to camp for, he executed. Put it that way. He executed it. So, Ugas had a great game plan. He boxed. He did his job. I felt like, you know, looking at Pacquiao, to your point, yeah, there were so many things in that fight. He wasn't Manny, you know what I'm saying? Like, but to your point, though, he did use a lot of energy. But I think Ugas, like, especially them hooks, I think it was getting to Pacquiao. And a couple of times, I thought he was going to knock Pacquiao down because he stumbled him a couple of times. But, you know, he didn't close it. But I thought a couple of times, I was like, oh, I'm scared for Pacquiao. I think he may go down in late rounds.
100%.
Yeah.
I saw that around, like, round 7.
Yeah, I thought, like, same 20, thing.
I was like, okay. I was like, okay, because he was, like, landing. Ugas was landing so clean.
Yes.
And the thing about Ugas, like, I mean, if you have seen his face, the picture that he posted.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
He got swelled up.
He got swelled up.
He got
up.
A chin.
Yeah.
He got swelled up.
Yes.
It just shows a chin. For Pacquiao to deal with what he dealt with, I give him a lot of respect. Let's face facts. Ugas is a big boy.
Yes.
Like, when they got in there, I was like, okay. Like, you know, what, you know, you can't really assess something until you actually see it in front of you, for the most part. You can kind of have, like, a little idea of what's going on. But when they, like, squared off in round one, I'm like, Ugas is a big boy for 147.
Yeah, he was strong. I know. He was big. He a big dude.
And it was a fun fight. you know, a lot of people ask me where does Manny Pacquiao go from here?
Yes, but I asked you that. Go ahead, yeah, go for it.
I think that's it, man. You know,
it's like, it, right?
I think that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's enough. Like, you know, the Spence thing would have been a nice out. I think Spence would have beat him that night. I think it's obvious that Manny's, like, slipped a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he went through a lot of different weight classes, fought a lot of great fighters, and he's got a lot of passion for it. He has clean habits. He doesn't, like, burn himself out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, what do you got to prove, man? Yeah. He's got a beautiful family. He's got all these children. It's, like, time to step away.
I agree. I just think that Manny should retire. I mean, and no one's going to ill on, like, they're not going to look at this loss like, oh, it's tarnishing the Manny Pacquiao legacy. Again, you're 40 some odd years old fighting a younger fighter. It is Father Time. I mean, this, you know, is undefeated. You know, sometimes when you're fighting with some of the younger guys in the game at that age, you know what I mean? This is what's supposed to happen. You know, not everybody's Floyd Mayweather, right? So, you know, this is what it is. I mean, you know, and he has nothing to be ashamed of. Still one of the greatest boxers to ever lace up the gloves. So to me, you know, he should retire. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. It would have been dope to have him fight Earl, but I feel like, you know, fighting Earl now or fighting Bud or whoever now, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold the same weight. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
Scary.
It's scary.
It
you know
would
what I'm
be
saying?
Scary.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it would be scary. Like, yeah, you don't want that.
We don't want that.
And the thing is, Surefire Hall of Fame.
Of course.
You know, you'd walk in and all the great thrills he's given us over the years. Like, you know, we got to give him props. And the thing is, he was fighting top level guys at the end of his career.
Definitely.
You know, and Keith Thurman, super competitive against him. But I honestly think that, you know, Father Time caught up and the about 2 year layoff or maybe even plus
that
2 years
too.
Since
that
he fought Keith Thurman. I think that kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get a question asked is that people say about Ugas. They're like, you know, well, he's younger than Pacquiao. I'm like, the homeboy's 35 years old.
35, yeah.
You know, so he's no spring chicken.
Oh, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
And he had a year-long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
But he came in there and he took the opportunity of a lifetime. Like, that's his Rocky movie.
Yeah, definitely.
That's his Eminem moment. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you're right. I like that. I like that comparison.
That's his lose yourself moment, bro.
Like, well, one time. Like, oh, my Lord. I love it.
I love you too, man. But that's his lose yourself moment. Like, and maybe he goes beyond that.
Maybe.
And think about the confidence. If you're a fighter and you beat Manny Pacquiao in that fashion, I don't care if Manny Pacquiao is, can I go back to 137 years old?
You feel good.
I don't care how old he is.
You're confident.
He's still good. He's still Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree.
I don't want to fight him.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I'm feel like there's definitely added confidence, right? He probably feels unbeatable right now, right? And a boxer that feels that type of way, you know what I mean? Like, is a dangerous boxer. So who's gonna want to fight? Who's gonna want to fight him? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's a good question. Like, what's next for Ugas though? What's next for him? Is it like a Bud Crawford? Because this word now, Bud's gonna probably fight. It's probably gonna. Well, they're trying to have Bud fight Sean Porter. So, well, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a dream fight.
Yeah, they said that they're trying to put the purse out there already. So they're trying to force that for Bud Sean Porter. So if that fight happens, what is Ugas waiting out for the winner? Or maybe he's not waiting for that. I think it's supposed to happen. They're starting the bidding out in September. So if that fight does happen, you should say roughly happens in October or something like that. If this fight happens, what is Ugas? Is Ugas wait for the winner, or is Ugas has somebody else to fight? Because I don't think Earl's gonna be healthy anytime soon.
It's a great question, and for my answer, you're absolutely correct. I think first of all, Porter and Crawford is a great matchup of completely different styles, and would be so exciting to watch. And you know, I love Terrence Crawford. I love Sean Porter, and that would be one heck of a fight to watch, man. Like, that would just be like one of the greatest nights of my life. I would just be so engaged in that. I think Ugas goes for Spence. Spence was scheduled to face Pacquiao. Logically, Ugas beat Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Pacquiao was supposed to get Spence had he got past, you know, his assignment this past weekend. And so naturally, I think that Spence is going to have to fight him.
Yeah.
Ugas.
I wonder.
He's going to have to fight him.
Yeah. I think he should. I just wonder how will he be healthy in time? That's the whole thing with him. That eye, like, will it be healthy in time? Will he be cleared to fight Ugas in time?
Yeah, I mean, we had swelling for Ugas. We have an eye complication with Spence.
Yeah.
They did the right thing, obviously, pulling him out.
Yeah.
Like, he had injuries in there. And, you know, but the thing about, you know, Spence is he's still young. He can recoup. He can recover.
That's true.
He can bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he does, man, because I do not want his career to be ended early. I do not want his career to be ended early because of the eye issues, because we've seen it in the past, like an eye issue, like the retina. I think it's an issue with the retina. Like that plays a part. That plays a lot. And that can hinder you in your boxing career. I know it's different from like Kell Brook, because his issue is like he always has orbital bone issues. But
Margarito.
So I just pray that, you know, this is just like a small thing. All he can do is rest, you know, have the procedure, get it taken care of, and, you know, he's able to still fight without feeling like it's a handicap.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you want to be careful. And the thing about Spence is that, A, he's got a dynamic personality.
Mm-hmm.
B, he's a great fighter.
Yes.
I love watching him fight.
Me too.
Like, we were talking about range and distance earlier about, you know, what Ugas was doing. And this is why I think it'd be a really intriguing fight. Both guys could box incredibly well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that always makes for a good fight. Like, it's going to be a little bit, I would think that would be a chess match, but the thing about Spence is that what I like is that, you know, he's got a lot of levels to his game.
Definitely.
Like, he's on the next level. He's on the next level, man. Yep.
I know.
But when he goes out there, he's always game-changing. He's always throwing you off, but he sticks to the fundamentals at the same time, which is brilliant.
Which people sleep on. I mean, they look at him because they see what it is that, especially when they compare him to Bud Crawford, and they look at what, you know, Bud switching southpaw. That's what everybody gets kind of fixated with. And he's a great boxer. Bud's amazing. But, you know, they harp on that. So, therefore, they don't kind of recognize – they don't recognize Earl's skill, like, in comparison, right? Because people always, when they watch boxing, they always get so infatuated with somebody. Oh, he can switch to – he can go southpaw, go right, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right, well, yeah, he can do that. And that's great. And he's great at it. And he's good. He's super skilled. But there's other levels to Earl's style of boxing, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different levels.
100.
Because against Mikey, because when you look at it, like, the whole fight with Mikey Garcia, and again, granted, Post are going to probably, they're going to try to discount what he did with to Mikey Garcia, but because they thought he was just going to beat up Mikey Garcia in terms of going to the body and killing his body, because Earl is such a dynamic body puncher. But he showed you that he can box from the outside, because he wanted to show you that. Like, he wanted to show you that he can do it all. So he can, he's like you said, he's multi-level. Like, he's not just a dude that initially, okay, he's just a crippling body puncher. There's so much more that's involved with Earl Spence. Because people forget, like, it's funny because I stated this before. Like, I remember before I even saw Earl Spence fight, before, you know, boxing got political with, like, oh, if you're on this network or you're on this promotion, you can't talk up somebody. When Max Kellerman was on HBO, you know, because HBO was pretty much just ranking boxers without the politics and stuff. He was like, Max was like, yo, Earl Spence is the best young boxer in the game. He said this.
Yeah.
Like, so it let me know already that this kid has always been dynamic. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of a boxer and a power puncher.
Dynamic is the best way to put it. And also his focus. If you watch Earl Spence in the ring, his level of focus is absolutely amazing. Like, even if he's having a bad round or whatever, like, he's engaged. He's looking. He's always, you know, he's not showing. He's got a great poker face.
Yeah.
I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's very good at selling what it is he's doing. And I love the distance he uses, because I mean, with boxing and you know, a lot of sports, it's all about, like, distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about, like, you know, how you, you know, getting in there and engaging, especially in combat sports. And for him, he's extremely amazing at it. He's very explosive. He knows how to move on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knows how to also counter off the back foot and get close to you. And next thing you know, you're fighting a long-distance range fighter. And then you have someone on the inside that is all of a sudden coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Spence does. And that's very deceiving. That's very intimidating. Manny Pacquiao would have had a significantly hard time if he had fought Spence on that night with Errol Spence at his best.
Yeah,
that would have been really bad.
We would have. we may have been saying R.I.P. Manny. If Earl was there,
it would have been rough.
It would have been rough. Speaking of a freaking horror movie, that would have been something terrible. That would have been like a put him to sleep type of. Oh my God, I'm glad I wouldn't see. I'm glad that didn't happen. I mean, sometimes you kind of.
Me too.
I mean, for Manny, I'm happy that didn't happen. Now, when I look at it, I'm like, I know, you know, people are upset. Not upset, but, you know, losing to Ugas isn't the way you wanted Manny to go out. But still, like, thinking what could have happened if he got Earl. Like, the real Earl, too. Like, the real Earl. Like you mentioned, Earl at his best. That would have been something that we wouldn't want to see. For real.
Things happen for a reason.
Exactly.
And Manny Pacquiao is a believer in faith. And
yes.
You know what? I think faith got his back.
On that one, definitely, Johnny. Hey, Johnny, man, thanks for being on the show, my man. Let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and also how they can catch your latest show that I'm going to try to be on.
Boxing.
Soon.
Yep, absolutely. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, bro. Boxing Music John on Twitter. YouTube, John Signorella, not Cinderella like the glass slipper. I'm going to spell it Signorella. John Signorella. And, man, I appreciate you guys having me on all the time, you know, coming through and talking boxing. And you guys do a great, great show. I want to bring your whole crew in.
Okay,
and
awesome.
Have you all on my show. And, you know, I think it would just be an excellent, excellent time. And, I appreciate you, man.
I know what, we're gonna make that happen. I'm gonna talk to the fellas and we'll make sure we have everybody scheduled ready to be on your show. Just let me know what works for you. I told you, I'm gonna try and make it happen. That's the goal.
100%, man. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you, Johnny. I'll catch you later. All right.
All right, my man. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Again, and make sure you follow Johnny on Twitter at Boxing Music John. Again, at Boxing Music John. I know that music keeps popping up on me. I don't know how to stop it. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, which is Empire Media, and that is at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, thank you all for listening to the show with me, Mole, No Will, No Ray. But I think I did a fair job. And what should I say next? Oh, I know. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages, you dig? Deuces, hey, Mega. Lead us out, big homie.